Oh, hearts and flowers and pretty pink puppy dogs and kittens with bows. It's Valentine's Day 2013. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Hey, before we get underway, a reminder, you're always invited to be part of the discussion via phone and email 414-1234, the local number in Tallahassee. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance from you to us. And perspectives at WFSU.org is also the email address, if you would care to connect with us that way. Hey, how many times have you heard the word jobs mentioned in news reports or discussions over the past even couple of years? Probably thousands of times, maybe tens of thousands of times. And even here in the Tallahassee area, which traditionally has been somewhat immune to like big economic downturns and swings, we've seen some significant job loss since about 2007. So we were thinking this morning on Perspectives, why not examine the local job situation from a number of angles, including the many programs available in the area to better connect jobs and people, because you can have a whole bunch of one and a whole bunch of the other, but if you don't get them together, what's the point? And that is exactly the point of economic development and job growth and all that sort of thing. So let's go around the table and meet some really, really cool folks. Starting off over here in the corner, this would be my right, your left, as you look at the radio. Kimberly Moore, Chief Executive Officer of Workforce Plus, the Workforce Development Board, serving Leon, Gadsden, and Wakulla counties, and soon to be embarking on an exciting new segment of her life.
Absolutely. That next chapter.
Yeah, we got to talk about that, Kimberly, because, gosh, everyone's known you in conjunction with Workforce Plus now for several years, and we'll get into where you're headed and what that's going to be all about here in just a little bit. Sitting next door to you here on stage left, Lisa Jones, Adult Community Education Transitions Advisor per program under the auspices of the Leon County School District. ACE, I think we call that for short, isn't it, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Boy, it's so good to have you on deck here, too. We're going to be joined momentarily here by Lorena Maxwell. She's with the Tallahassee Community College. She's with the recruitment and outreach program there. They're involved with things like the Plus 50 Encore completion program, a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're anxious to pick her brain on that. And right next door to me here is Tim Center, recently assumed the mantle of executive director of the Capital Area Community Action Agency, taking over, as they say, what some
big heels,
big heels, yeah. After Dot Inman Johnson retired, and now she's a world acclaimed writer. I understand she's on a book tour and all that kind of stuff. So she got out of community action in one piece, Tim, and hopefully the same will happen with you many years down the road.
She used to be as tall as I was, and I think the job beat her down. So I'm hoping I can hold my own for a little while.
And Tim, your background also in sustainability and all that sort of thing too. Right?
That's right. Glad to be here.
Yes, and also a great guy. You could occasionally catch some of his stuff when we would do the rebroadcasts of Tiger Bay Club, because you had those great monologues in the very beginning.
I have a lot of help with those, but thank you.
Yeah.
a lot of fun to make fun of everybody else.
Well, let's start off. Number one, Kimberly, what is ahead for you here in your job transition, if you will?
Absolutely. It's always about starting that next chapter. And for me, that will be Tallahassee Community College, where I will assume the role March 1 for Vice President for Workforce Development.
Boy, that is exciting.
It's exciting. It's major.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Well, before you transition out from Workforce Plus, where you have been for low these many years here, what is the current job situation in the three-county area that Workforce Plus serves?
I can tell you that what we are seeing, and quite frankly, it's what we're seeing statewide as well. We've seen over the last year a movement from 8% unemployment rate to 6.6%. I would say a lot of that is tied to the connections that we have in place with economic development, our chambers, working directly with them, and having a coordinated approach even with education to make sure that what we're doing is in alignment with what employers are looking for. So that employer confidence, it's picking back up, and as a result, we're making those matches. Individuals are going back into the job force.
Well, as individuals go back into the job force, of course, if they don't have the proper underpinnings, particularly in the realm of education, they're not going to get too terribly far. And Lisa Jones, that's kind of where that whole ACE thing comes in, right? If you have not made it through through high school. I mean, that is bare bones basic. You don't have that, you're not going anywhere.
We have found that to be true. I work with a program called Career Pathways, and it's a national initiative. We do hear about jobs, but we talk about an educated workforce. We have jobs that are available, but we don't have those folks that are trained to do them. Two of our main programs, our GED program and our English for Speakers of Other Languages, that's what we're doing. We're getting those folks ready to get their high school diploma and then transition on to whether it be TCC, which we've transitioned lots of folks to TCC, to Lively Technical Center, to get them prepared to be contributing members of our society.
Tim Center, as far as community action goes, and full disclosure here, many, many moons ago, I was affiliated with a community action agency up in Western Maryland. I worked with a program that actually hooked up inner city kids with 4-H programs. And so it was, you know, doing grant writing and that kind of thing, and then going out and actually starting 4-H clubs in housing projects and stuff. It was a blast. Didn't pay squat, but it was fun.
It really was.
And you could actually see the organization making a difference in the lives of people. For the Capital Area Community Action Agency, what are you guys all about?
Well, I think that's the really important thing. I've been here since 1984, knew Dot and respected her career and her advocacy for years. And it's still at no point in time understood that we even had a Capital Area Community Action Agency. And if we did, even what it did was responsible for. The key part is that the federal safety net, which we hear referred to a lot, was created under the Great Society efforts by Lyndon Baines Johnson and Congress in 1964. And they knew from a federal level they could provide funding, but there was the on-the-ground boots sort of work that needed to be done. And that's when they created community action agencies. There are 1,000 community action agencies in the country covering 96% of the population. And we are the federal safety net to serve people who are encountering poverty, which is $19,000 for a family of three, for example. And we have – where the country, 14% of people live in poverty. 22% of people in our 8-county region live in poverty. 28% in the city of Tallahassee. So Capital Area is responsible for that region stretching from Jefferson County over to Gulf County and Liberty County as well and everything in between. And our efforts are threefold. One is to provide emergency assistance when people can't make ends meet and can't pay that utility bill or need a little bit of help with their rent. But we're trying to figure out how we can get more folks connected up with what Workforce Plus does and what ACE does and where we can help people get into a more stable situation to become independent of needing any type of government support.
Yep.
So we served – 2 years ago, we served 22,000 people in the region. We served 18,000 last year. Most of those are in emergency assistance, the handout. Our focus, though, needs to be on helping people get connected with jobs. And we have some isolated one-off situations where we can tell you some great success stories. And then we also have some great stories about classes to become certified nurses, assistants, or to become security guards and things of this that don't require as many skills and education. But that's where our focus is right now. And then at the same time, just to let you know, in order to keep people from going into poverty, we have Head Start to work way up the river in preschool for kids who have lost the womb lottery. And really to try to help them be prepared for kindergarten because that early education is so important. And at the same time, we're working with their parents to help lift them up as well.
Yeah, you had some direct employment situations here with the weatherization program and all that we can get into here in just a little bit. We have been joined as smiles erupt all around the table because everyone knows you're here. Lorena Maxwell, Tallahassee Community College Recruitment and Outreach Coordinator, Plus 50 Encore Completion Program, among many other workforce development programs that you're involved with. And Lorena, glad you found us and got away from TCC and could join us here. So.
Thanks, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Talk a little about some of the programs, though, at TCC has, because we've been, whether it's, you know, talking with Kimberly here or Lisa or Tim, it all kind of funnels to a large degree with some of the initiatives that Tallahassee Community College is involved with right now, right?
That's right, Tom. Tallahassee Community College has a lot of short-term training programs that prepare students for the workforce. Not everybody who comes to us wants to go on to a 4-year school. So we have certificates and 2-year degrees that would prepare them to go directly into the workforce. And right now there's a lot of interest in the shorter-term training programs. programs that will prepare students to get into the workforce in a year or a little bit more, even less than that. Some of those include the surgical technology program, pharmacy tech. There are certificates in some of our, you know, computer areas, in the criminal justice areas. So we have a lot for students to choose from, not to mention there are programs on the workforce development side that prepare students for a transition into the workforce as well. So we are really trying to focus on the programs that are going to help students gain employment in a short amount of time to kind of meet the needs of any kind of student that comes to TCC. So,
and you got the addition of, well, whether it's the Gazvini Center there for the nursing programs and all that, which is one of the most fabulous training facilities
I mean,
in the southeastern United States, and we got it right here, but the advanced manufacturing facility that you have out there. So if you would have a factory that would be thinking of locating within this region, you guys could actually give them a turnkey workforce, couldn't you?
That's right. Just thinking about the Advanced Manufacturing Training Center, they have several certificates that would also build into a two-year AS degree, Associate of Science or Associate of Applied Science degree. There is actually business incubator space in the Advanced Manufacturing Technology building to kind of nurture the growth of that business. So it really depends on what the business, what kind of services they offer. I think TCC has an opportunity to really plug in and get on the ground floor to help businesses start up. And I know with Gazvini Center, I always go out there for a tour and it's, oh, I want to work here. So there's room for expansion. And I know as we move forward, we're going to be looking at more of those short-term programs.
I love the robotic patients at Gazvini. You can program them to have just about any illness or injury known to, you know, into mankind. And then the folks can go in and actually learn on a responsive robot. You do certain things to it, and like it stops breathing or throws up. I mean, the thing is incredible.
Right.
414-1234. We're talking about jobs and job training here on Perspectives this morning. Of course, your input is always a valuable part of the whole kebab. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. Phone lines are filling up, and we'll get to your calls as soon as Perspectives continues. Gonna get to work by Gadfrey, because that's what we're doing on Perspectives, talking about jobs and job placement and job training and all that kind of thing here. And while we're on the subject of jobs, this just in, Governor Rick Scott announcing Florida job openings continue to increase, more than 255,000 openings statewide. That was the January online job vacancies that are either posted online or, you know, in the classified section, the newspapers, whatever, increasing more than 12% over the year. And let's see, what are the biggies here that we can get? Registered nurses. That is a number one job openings for the state of Florida, followed by retail salespersons, first line supervisors, managers of retail workplaces, of course, customer service reps, frontline supervisors in food preparation, restauranting, that kind of thing. So a lot of service, a lot of service jobs there, but there's some manufacturing in here too, guys, that's coming up. And that's a 12% increase for this January over January a year ago. By the way, the phone number is 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Let's get to the phones because they are filling up. Jack's here in Tallahassee. Hi, Jack.
Yes, good morning. I wanted to thank each of your guests for their great work. I have two quick suggestions. Number one is to use the advantage of our age groups, our over 60s, like including me, and our under 25s, to connect and show the career path, the experience that exists in our community. And the other idea I would like to focus on for a Mr. Center is why don't we have more males involved in early childhood development programs? So many of our children don't have positive males in their lives, and I would like to suggest a special initiative to get more men involved in Head Start preschool, and with the president making that an emphasis of his State of the Union for early childhood development. I'd like Tim's thoughts on how to get more men involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it, Tim.
And Jack, what a great perspective to share with us. And I guess that's why the show's named that. I think the issue is regarding male involvement in the lives of young children. It has been a challenge. It is one that we see every day in our 9 nationally accredited Head Start centers across the region. And the 378 kids, we hope that they will have some type of full family involvement in their upbringing. We actually have at our Head Start Center some specific programs to enhance the opportunity for the adult males in the children's lives to become involved, whether they be a father, an uncle, or grandfather. And we hope that those parents and or parental adults will be actively engaged in that process. We try to make it very appealing, attractive, and compelling. The unfortunate thing is that we can't mandate, as you all know, we cannot mandate good parenting. And so we do our best to try to encourage folks to become engaged in the lives of the children. And where that is not possible, we've been reaching out to Elder Affairs to look at the seniors to get involved with a foster grandparent program to work with our students 3 to 5 years old in our preschool program. And then we're now about to, hopefully, if we can get this put together, we've begun initial conversations with Big Brothers Big Sisters to look at tutors who might be able to maintain contact and some type of adult support for students when they leave preschool or Head Start program and go into mainstream school and immediately lose all degrees of support that they've had for the last 2 or 3 years. So we're hoping to try to augment that as well so we can create a comprehensive, holistic approach.
Yeah, and also there's a lot of openings in the educational field. It looks like now we're starting to return to a more, should we say, adequately funded public school system. Of Florida, of course, being a hotbed now of charter school development. So there are educational opportunities for men as well as women that folks might want to avail themselves of. So I was thinking there, Lisa, you're smiling there for Leon County School District. I mean, we could certainly use more men in the classroom, I'm sure.
I believe so, especially at the elementary level. I think just that goes on to what Tim was just speaking to. I think at the elementary level, yeah.
Yeah, let's see what we have here back on. If we could put the Lydell, if we could put the screen back up here, we'll see who else is on call here. Let's see. Reed on line 2 is giving us a ring on perspectives. Hey, Reed.
Hey, Tom. How are you today?
Hey, my man. Wonderful. How's yourself?
Oh, hanging in there. Hanging in there. Question for your panel, and this is unfortunately not as unique as we would like it to be. I have a very, very close friend who is 60 years old. She's got a master's degree in higher education. She's got 14 years Department of Education with the state of Florida. She was the administrator for the GED program for the entire state. She's worked in test development, assessment, program management. She can do it all, and she can't find a job because the jobs that she applies for end up going to new college graduates or in-house employees who don't have near her skills, her background, or her ability. And I think the problem is a lot of potential employers look at her resume and say, we can't afford her. She'll work for practically anything right now. She's working part-time with no benefits. She's getting extremely depressed, and I'm concerned about the market for her over the long term. How can your panel enlighten me on that?
Boy, that's a great one, Reed. And again, full disclosure, went through that several years before I even came here. It was off for more than a year and wound up doing all kinds of unrelated, a lot of fun stuff, but you know, certainly wasn't up the alley. Lorena Maxwell, you have something at TCC, part of a nationwide effort to train 10,000 older workers here for different kind of careers, the 50-plus completion program. What's that all about?
Right. I really think that program is an initiative to try and reach out to folks in that age range who are looking to, in the case of this lady who has a master's degree in education, who has done a lot of stuff. It's really looking at maybe a training program or a certificate or something even more short-term than that that would allow her to gain skills to move into a different type of job. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's, you know, I've gotten a certain level of my education. Maybe I need to look in another area. So it's really kind of to push folks of that age range and for them to look at their options for something short-term, and that we realize that many people are having to work longer. They completely changed their, you know, life career, and they really need to do a 180 and figure something else out. So that's really the crux of the 180 – or so the 50-plus program.
Oh, okay. So, and Kimberly Moore, do we see that a lot here just, I mean, in the overall workforce where folks have to do that kind of a total rethink?
Absolutely, especially with the economic downturn that we experienced going from 2007 forward, we have had this whole thought process about reinvention, basically, and how do you package yourself differently. Based on the caller's communication about his friend and where she is, I would strongly encourage use of our executive center that looks at that type of individual who is degreed, who has tons of experience, but clearly probably needs to repackage the information so that it does not come across that, you know, I'm this six-figure person and that's what I'm commanding up front, that is open to what those opportunities are. I would also suggest that looking at within the 60-mile radius, just because there may not be opportunities that align here in Tallahassee, I can tell you that Workforce Plus works closely with our friends in Georgia Department of Labor and posting their jobs as well as them posting ours. So looking at those driving distance opportunities and certainly knowing that all is not lost, let's look at that reinvention process.
Okay. And so you become really more of a regional or
Absolutely.
Almost an interstate workforce
yeah.
development board.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it still all begins with a real basic education. And Lisa Jones, the thing that I found just astounding was the number of people, even in a highly educated area like we are in right now, who don't even have a high school diploma.
You're right, Tom. In Leon County, from 25 and older, it's roughly 10%. And that doesn't count the 16 to 24 group, which is a huge population here that don't have a high school diploma.
Okay, so what does the ACE program do as far as getting folks back on track who fell off the educational wagon, they're trying to climb back on? What do you do there?
Well, they come in and we get them registered, and the very first thing they do is they go to orientation. It's a week long. In that orientation, we start immediately focusing on jobs and careers. What do you think it is you want to do with your life? They do career exploration. Our teachers follow up with that in the class. They do resume building. They do job searches, those kinds of activities. We use a program called Florida Choices that is phenomenal. It is a phenomenal program. And when they're ready, they study math, writing, science, social studies, and reading to get prepared to take that GED test. Then when they're ready, they start working with me, and I help transition them, get them ready for post-secondary. If they want to go to Lively, if they want to go to TCC, I've had students that move to go to the University of Fairbanks in Alaska, go down to Valencia, Southwest Georgia Tech in Thomasville. We have students that are more prepared. We have students that come in and have people believe in them and say, what do you want to do? You can do anything you want to do. Set your mind to it. We're here to help you every step of the way. And they get prepared. They get introduced to advanced manufacturing certificates. I've had some young men that just flipped over the robotics over at the Advanced Manufacturing Center. And it's those kinds of things, touring Lively, seeing the hands-on, the welding, where there's going to be jobs like crazy in the next decade. Those are the kinds of things we want to do, as well as take our students for English speakers of other languages, who many of them have degrees from their home countries. It's the language that's preventing them from getting a job. Help them get a command of the English language and help them get jobs as well.
Even on a more elemental thing, Tim Center, let's talk about that weatherization thing that Capital Area Community Action had, that you guys got some money, you got a program that kind of interfaces with what the city of Tallahassee is trying to do as far as energy conservation and that kind of thing, and put people to work.
That's right. And we, you know, for 15 years, the Capillary Community Action Agency has had a weatherization program. We assist people who have a high energy burden. You may have had that one time when we had cold weather during winter, when the bill goes up a little bit more than usual. For our folks who live in substandard housing, however, drafty homes without insulation, without caulking, without weather stripping, very inefficient appliances, their bills are in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and folks can't afford that. We're able to come in with those dollars, with those program dollars, to actually upgrade a home so that your electric bill goes down and you can put food on your table. The neat part is that the best part under the stimulus dollars that came into the state of Florida was that we were able to put out of work home building crews into weatherization jobs. And thanks to TCC and workforce, we were able to create a training program to give that specific skill set to those folks who were out of work. And then at the same time, we're able to help folks in the long term who have substandard housing have more efficient homes and help them with their budgets. It's a win-win in many different ways. And we've did thousands of homes actually in our region. And we're completing some down in Apalachicola right now, an entire housing complex. And we've done multifamily homes, individual homes. We've done even mobile homes in some situations where people are just in desperate need. So we're glad to be part of that economic development mix. But we're also at the same time finding more and more that people need to make an independent decision on their own to say, I need to change where I am and improve my situation. And that's a lot different than the caller with a situation, a set of facts for a person who is very, very qualified and not finding the appropriate job here in this region. But for our folks, we're finding folks need to make that determination that they want to work and improve their situation. At that point, we can hopefully link them up with the other resources here at the table. And we're totally committed to stay with them for up to 3 years when they make that decision. And that's a big decision to make.
Yeah, that is – but it also starts to move that needle here of getting those folks out of the poverty pockets that you guys deal with day in and day out and get them into a – you know, at least a more livable kind of situation.
And I wanted to say, Tim, just to add to that, this Saturday will be the second opportunity that folks who are not enrolled in school have a chance to come to our campus to take the official practice test for the GED to see how they would score on the real test. And it's completely free as long as you're not enrolled in school. And you can come to our campus begin at 9:30 on Saturday, and you can take one or all five sections.
Perfect. When we will share that with our clients if we've not done so already.
Now, I love
listening to NPR.
Yeah, you learn so much. But if you really blow the thing out of the water, Lisa Jones, and you know, oh, you go down in flames here, no harm, no foul on
absolutely.
This, right?
Absolutely. If you score 520 or above on all five of the sections, then we will pay for you to take your GED test.
That's awesome.
Whoa.
So,
you can't beat that.
No. Well, speaking of money here, George has a question here about the evil lucre. Hey, George, welcome to Perspectives.
Well, good morning, Tom. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your family and your panel.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You know, it's good to hear that Kim's going to be getting a promotion working out at TCC with Lorena and a couple of comments here. Number one, we need to make sure, as President Obama said the other night in his State of the Union, that we have the resources and the wherewithal to put these people in jobs and train them, because, you know, it seems as though a lot of these programs, which are really, really fine programs, are being cut. And it's very sad to see that, because the people that are being the most affected are the people at the lower end of the, you know, of the whatever you call it, of the workforce and such. And you know, Lisa's got a good program going, and so does Lorena, and everybody knows what Kim's done and what she's going to do when she gets over to TCC. And, you know, when I retire in 3.5 years, as you know, I'm in drop. I'm looking forward to doing something else, whether, you know, hopefully here, but if not, out in the great Northwest. And, you know, because I don't want to sit.
Well, I really appreciate that, George. And, you know, that may be something, too, that we look at. We had talked about the mentoring opportunities and possibilities that are available here of bringing, you know, professionals, seasoned folks back in as trainers, as mentors, as workforce developers, and using those skills that they've accumulated over those many years to put, you know, younger folks on track or even help older folks redirect themselves as new opportunities come along. So maybe you could, you know, hang around here and share your expertise and your skills and background with folks who really could use that. But George did bring up a good point. I'll just throw this out here. I call it the Uncle Ducky syndrome because I had a guy in my family by the name of Uncle Ducky. I don't even know what his real name was, but he was that. Just a great, great guy, but grew up at a time in our nation's history when even, Lisa, a GED was not required. I think he probably dropped out of eighth grade. Could barely write his name in the dirt with a stick, but he was a master pipe fitter, and he got jobs out the yin-yang in the industrialized right. Northeast.
Yep.
There are no jobs for Uncle Duckies anymore. What do we do with these folks? And they may not even have the, I don't want to say the mental capacity, but the inclination to have a lot of academic background. What do we do with them?
I think in general, and we have seen that with the economic downturn. Prior to that, you know, there was an open market for those individuals who lacked a high school diploma and in some situations maybe not even have the GED as well. And we were able to find a place for those individuals. Maybe it was service related. Maybe it was manufacturing related. Because of the economic downturn, it shifted. So it became certainly an employer's market. Employers were able to require the degreed candidate, lots and lots of skills, and trying to find a place for those individuals. Our efforts have been, and I think it's probably just common knowledge, to communicate what the change is. Say, by the way, what you've done and gotten by with year after year after year, there's a shift. It's a major shift.
And we'll talk about how the folks here around this table can maybe help ease that shift on the part of folks who are transitioning in the workforce when we continue on Perspectives. 414-1234-800-926-8809 and Perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be right back. Hey, need a job? Well, we have some folks here who might be able to help. That's what we're talking about. Jobs and job training on Perspectives on this Valentine's Day. Hearts and flowers to you. Kimberly Moore with Workforce Plus, Lisa Jones with Leon County Schools ACE program, Lorena Maxwell from TCC, and Tim Center from the Capital City Community or Capital Area Community Action Agency right there. Before we go back to the phones and 414-1234, the number once again, picking up on a thread that we were talking about right before the break, and that is for kids, lack of computer skills means, they may not be up on the latest version of the iPhone that just came out. But for those over a certain break point in demographics, say, 35, 40 plus, the lack of computer skills means essentially no work.
Potentially the inability to even find work, because most jobs require that skill. Again, in our area, 80% of the jobs we post for local employers require computer skills.
Okay, and you don't have them, so what, Lisa? Where do you go? Where do you get them?
We offer a class if you're 55 and older. One of the programs that falls under the umbrella of adult education is our Senior Adult Learners program, and we have a computer class on our campus if you're 55 or older, and they cover everything from Twitter to Facebook to very basic computer skills, how to send an email, how to fill out different kinds of applications. They cover that in that class.
Yeah, like we said, even, you know, applying for unemployment compensation has to be done. Like Lorena Maxwell, your programs, too, would lean in that direction, right?
Right. There is definitely a need to front load that computer literacy piece to new students who are transitioning into TCC for whatever. There are opportunities there to develop computer literacy skills and training for students. That would be a definite direction to take in looking at students transitioning in from that older age group, giving them the basic skills to be able to complete a certificate, have what they need, and then to move into the workforce. And we do offer some I know through workforce development have in the past and do offer some of those basic, you know, how do I – social media. When students become enrolled at TCC, depending on the program that they pursue, we have a couple levels of computer literacy. There's a lower level for the folks that need to learn how to turn on the computer – you know, the very, very nuts and bolts basic stuff. And then we have a little bit higher level that actually gets into the program and Office and Microsoft. So we have a couple levels of computer classes that students can take to become more proficient. And it's always talking to students about computer literacy. I know in the classrooms when we have an opportunity to share or demonstrate or help students learn that basics, then I know a lot of the faculty, they do that. We take a lot of time with the students walking them through different, especially with our learning plan and our student system. We spend a lot of time trying to help them understand how to log in, walk through, so that they can gain that knowledge.
Yeah, and in lower-income neighborhoods, Jim Center, that digital divide is even more pronounced, right?
I would imagine so. I know that in our even in our some of our own programs and even with some of our staff, they're not as computer proficient as we would like and or would be found in a traditional private sector role. And we're trying to provide assistance to our clients when they come in as best we can and then refer them to the resources that are available in the community. But at present, if I could, I'd set up a computer lab just to be able to offer little hourly sessions on how to just operate the mouse to understanding how to open up applications and how to apply online to things in order to get access to government assistance with food. That's an online application process. Unemployment's an online application process. Job applications now are an online application process. And the computer skill cannot be overestimated at all in terms of its need.
Yeah. So hats off also to the folks who are like over at Appalachian Ridge where you have – that kind of a program where kids come in and can learn. Same thing at our teen center. You know, they have the same kind of programs where they're getting, you know, the younger folks at least more adroit there. Lorena?
I just wanted to make a little editorial comment. But, you know, when we're looking at students or folks that are transitioning into education and the computer technology skills are so key to pretty much everything that someone would do in any aspect of their life. And I think not only offering the training, but reducing the stigma of the technophobic, a lot of people of the higher age range, but a lot of students who are in their younger age range, I saw it when I taught remedial English at TCC, that there were students who had the smartphones and had the gadgets, but when it came to opening Word and formatting a paper or uploading a document to email, they didn't know how to do it. So I spent some time training, but it's also breaking down that barrier of being afraid to use the technology. So it's training them on how to, but also helping them, easing them into it and helping them feel comfortable with the use of technology. I see that a lot. It's just the sheer fear of the technology. So that's kind of what we would like to work on too.
And then when I'm working with students at ACE, the application for TCC is online. The application for financial aid, federal financial aid, is online. And it's not that they can't do it. It is the fear. And we'll sit down. I work with them one-on-one to do it. And they'll say, oh, okay, I can do this. And it's just getting that hurdle. And I think with all of us, it's just the issue of streamlining things, making our students and our population in Leon County aware of all the things that are out there that can help you achieve your goals. From the older folks that need to retrain, I had a friend at 56 years old decided he wanted to be a nurse. He quit teaching, went back to school, and now is working at the hospital in Dothan as an RN. So it can be done.
It can be done.
Absolutely.
We have someone we're going to talk to about that in just a second. Let's check in with line one first, though. Debbie's been holding for quite a while. Hi, Deb.
Well, hi. I'm just calling because I was excited to hear Lisa speaking about adult and community education on Trojan Trail. Both my children had an opportunity to access their services. One was assisted in getting a GED, and the other, my daughter, was able to take credit classes to help her graduate on time from high school. And it was a wonderful and affordable service. It was a gem in our community.
Oh, that's a nice comment. We really appreciate the
thank you, Debbie.
The props, Debbie. Thanks.
I feel the love.
Yeah. let's see if we can share the love here with Bob. He's online too. Hey, Bob.
Hey, I can't believe I got through to you guys. I was just curious. I've got a lot of friends who I was a radar technician in the Navy. I got out, came back home, worked in office equipment. I've been doing that since 79. And the high point of my salary was like in 91 when I cleared a little over $34,000 a year. And my income has been steadily going down. My wife's time has been cut back. I'm getting old now. I'm 58. But I was just curious, you know, we really can't afford a lot. We've been cutting back, and the VA says I've got a good head on my shoulders. I need to reinvent myself. But, you know, I've been in electronics all these years, but I'm just curious what might be out there to help us. I'm only making $11 an hour now, and it's just, you know, it's hard to hang on.
Yeah, you can't exactly say you're overpaid, that's for sure. Kimberly Moore, what do you think?
Absolutely. In that situation, what we'd want to look at is transferable skills, the skills that you have both from the military or armed forces as well as a job, the skills that you've gained over time here in civilian life, looking at what those options are. Oftentimes when we're working with the individuals coming into our offices, varying levels of skills and education is – making sure that they understand what other opportunities exist, what other pathways. And though it's very hard, I mean, if you've not done it, so I would suggest coming in and speaking with one of our career consultants, and we could share with you that, you know, here are the other opportunities that exist. One free example that Lisa, one of the other panelists, shared is about choices. That also helps you to point you in the right direction in terms of assessing what are those opportunities based on interest and everything else.
And it does a transferable skills. It looks at the skills you have and the careers that are out there that those skills will transfer to. Yes, it is it's a great program.
Yeah, one of the things that we've been kind of focusing on, though, has been more of the passive employment type of situation where we know there are jobs out there. How do I find what jobs are available and make myself available? Well, we haven't even hit on the entrepreneurship thing, that some folks just totally chuck the idea of working for someone else and reinvent themselves as a business owner, operator, manager, entrepreneur, that type of thing. Tim?
You know, we've had that opportunity in our realm of working in a continuum from emergency assistance to self sufficiency. We have found some of our clients who have that entrepreneurial risk-taking gene. I don't necessarily have it. My wife does, and it's phenomenal to watch. But we've had individuals who have come to us homeless, and then over a course of months and a year or so, working with them, providing the support to let them move into employment from a line staff person to management and see them get their AA. We had an individual over in Jefferson County in Monticello who always had a desire to cut hair. And we were able to help him with some support dollars to get the certificates necessary to create a barber shop. But he didn't have the money, nor did we, to support the bricks and mortar operation. So he and his bicycle would travel around and cut hair. In Monticello, actually, there were no barber shops at the time. Since then, a salon and a barbershop have opened up, and they've hired him to work in both the shops.
Right.
So it's the sort of thing where some folks who want to do that, you know, you can do gift baskets at your home and then work on distributing those, and we've helped support individuals there with loans, and then they're able to pay them back, their micro loans, and able to pay them back over time. But that entrepreneurial issue is one that is not held, that gene is not necessarily held by everybody, but worthy of investigating and to see what the future might hold, especially for folks who are incredibly skilled. The issue of consulting and doing contract work begins to say, I can set my own schedule, and you might find that it becomes much more practical and flexible and enjoyable than simply an 8-to-5 job.
Yeah, Lorena.
I think, too, from what Kimberly said, Lisa and Tim also, it's, you know, we're kind of advising people from whatever level or perspective that you take it, but to educate ourselves on the options, to encourage you know, I relate to the caller. My dad was in the Navy. He worked on the radars, and, you know, he had his own business, electronics business, for 20 years, but it got to the point where it wasn't profitable, so he actually reversed and went to work in retail. Had electronics training, didn't really have any education past high school. And so it was kind of a reverse. He was like, well, what am I going to do? So he looked at his skills, transferable skills. He had a lot of them, and it was able to kind of work. He started at Home Depot and then went to Tractor Supply. So he kind of reversed it. But I think as individuals who work with older generation, I've got all these mad skills. Where can you take those? And here are your options. Have you thought about entrepreneurial? Have you thought about these different areas? And I know at TCC, when we're talking to students on the front end before they even get to us, and when they're there, we're in the constant process of helping that student make a decision and us knowing the opportunities and the alternatives. And did you think about such and such options that would help them connect? And then they can explore that. You know, it's as simple as calling up and make an appointment to talk to somebody in our admissions office and take a tour, get the info, and make connections and help them connect to whatever they're interested in pursuing.
And see in the big picture.
Right.
Sometimes they have these wonderful ideas, but they haven't looked at the whole big picture. I want to own my own business. Okay, well, have you looked at this, this, and this? That's all part of owning your own business. And then I think that's where the education part comes into it. You know, you have to have certain skills if you want that business to be successful.
Yeah, and there are just some, as you, I think you had mentioned too, Tim, that there are certain personality types that are incompatible with that entrepreneurial spirit. You know, I'm thinking particularly of, you know, some of my former colleagues in the music business. Musicians are terrible business people. They really are. You know, they find themselves at the mercy of record companies and bar owners and everything else, and usually wind up losing their shirts or at least their guitars.
So, you know, creative side is what's working.
Kimberly, do we have any particular areas of like hot job growth in the three-county area right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Our hot jobs are consistent with what we're seeing statewide as well as nationally when you look at healthcare-related, private education, and a lot of that comes with when there's an economic downturn. There's often lots and lots of schools that pop up beyond the traditional schools that are normally in your community. That's usually a drive there. Additionally, with information technology, the whole convergence of IT and the need and the infusion and all these different other pathways, whether you're looking at healthcare or you're just looking at just in general business ran organizations. Other areas that we're seeing is service by virtue of our local area. So lots of service related, whether it's retail services, whether it's the hospitality industry with hotels. Those are the hot jobs, varying education levels required, varying pay is generated as a result. Yeah.
Yeah, well, just at Capital Regional added two more floors, or at least, you know, they've been building over the past couple. 20% of this area's workforce is now involved in some kind of medical
stuff? Absolutely. Yeah. For our area, healthcare, government, and education, largest sectors.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggie.
And we spend a lot of time, as I work with students and employers, one of the things that employers say to me, Lisa, we need workers that have the soft skills. We need workers that know how to come dress properly, carry on a conversation, be on time, do your job. Those are the things. And our teachers spend a lot of time working on those skills.
Okay, Tim.
And, you know, just to follow up on that, because those skills are so important. We're doing work in Franklin County right now, which is just being devastated by the death of the Bay for the period of time that we're foreseeable future. Folks who have been used to being entrepreneurs, going out, setting their own schedule to fish the waters and tong the oysters, are now in on-the-job training programs that we're facilitating with our workforce partner in that region to get them just in the habit of regular hours, regular job performance, where the on-the-job training is not necessarily for a job, because those jobs are going away in Franklin County, unfortunately, but to prepare them for perhaps the ability to come into another community and work and have a traditional job, because those folks are really going to have to recreate themselves. Yeah. And that's a big challenge, and that's a big focus that we're trying to work on. Glad to hear that the teachers are working on it as well. These are skills that a lot of folks who come out of the lower classes into middle class or into higher prosperity levels of socioeconomic levels, there are different value systems in play. And folks need to understand what those are and what's expected of them. And we're working with a new program now that we'll be launching next month that will work to explore those with clients to help them understand what's going to be expected when they move themselves out of poverty into the middle class, hopefully. And then help them find support in the community in those classes as well. So it's a multifaceted issue regarding economic development. It's the issue of jobs. It's the issue of the workforce. It's the issue of our community supporting those who are in need.
A lot of unexplored territories there.
You said it, and that's a perfect time to take more calls. No, just joking. it's an amazing thing. As we say we're the safety net to the poor capital area, but in reality, as I sit at the regional consortium with Kimberly, to understand that we're really an economic workforce issue as well, mm-hmm. and then at the same time figuring out why should folks of resourced who are resourced worry about those who don't have the resources, who don't have the jobs. And when it comes down to it, it's about a better community. We're only as strong as the weakest component in the community, a wider job base, a wider employed population means more customers in the stores, more money being spent, a wider tax base, which can either relieve our burden a little bit or ensure better service delivery by government. It's all interrelated, and it's exciting to have all the partners at the table.
We hope we've had some good interrelationships here today, guys. Tim Center with Capital Area Community Action. Thanks so much. Lorena Maxwell, TCC. Lisa Jones with the Leon County Schools ACE program. And, of course, Kimberly Moore. Soon to transition from Workforce Plus over TCC. To VP at TCC. And happy Valentine's Day to you guys, too. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls back behind the glass. And I'm Tom Flanagan, taking off a week for Pledge Drive. We'll see you in 2 weeks right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.